was the God-man. He was the Christ child. He was fully God and fully man. And that's the reason the Apostle John is able to write in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14 he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth." Praise God for that. Thank you, Kelly and Quinn and Brenna, for that wonderful music today to remind us that was a labor of love. Thank God for that today. Well, I want you to know we've heard from a lot of people today, but I want us to hear from the Washers. How about that? We're going to hear from them right now as we play a video from them about our mission call.
We want to say thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offerings. That money provides over 50% of the International Mission Board's fund, and 100% of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes to overseas work supporting 3,678 field personnel in countries all over the world.
Last year, missionaries started almost 14,000 new churches and trained over 18,000 pastors. We saw 77,605 new believers come to faith and baptized 52,586. Those are some awesome numbers, and they truly glorify our God. But there's still a lot of work to be done. It is estimated that there are over 7,000 unreached people groups still in the world, and 3,176 unengaged, unreached people group. That means right now there's nobody working in their context. So your giving truly matters.
We are proud to be serving alongside our church. Our denomination started out on missions, and we have not lost our focus.
You are an integral part of God's plan for reaching the nations. Thank you so much. We love you guys.
Amen. Okay, we had a little technical difficulty there, but it's fine. What they were trying to tell us is that we're involved, engaged in missions, and we're a part of that. The theme this year is, "I saw a great multitude from every nation and all tribes." It's a Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and what they tried to share with us there are some statistics that are very important, that we understand that we're one of many churches that are going to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And think about that. That number, 77,000 people came to Christ. Let that sink in just a little bit. And you and I are a part of that because we gave, we sent, and we're going to continue to send. This year, our church is going to be sending a team to Kenya, Africa. We're going to be going back to Kenya, Africa. We're going to be going back to Brownsville, Texas. We're going to be going to Madagascar. We're going to send a couple of people, a prayer walk team there, to be with the Washers and catch the vision of what God's doing there. But you pray for them as they finish up. They'll be back with us, as I mentioned, on December the 15th. But we are involved in a mission endeavor that God's called us to do. By the way, I want our church to be a Great Commission church. Amen? God never called us to sit on a chair. He's called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And if we're a Great Commission church, we're going to catch the vision, we're going to hear the call of God, and we're going to go. By the way, it not only includes our Jerusalem right here where we live, but it also includes our Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth, by the way. That is the Great Commission. And God's called us to be a part of that Great Commission. If you have a copy of the scripture today, I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 16 this morning. Acts chapter 16, let me give you a little background of what's happening. May I tell you that the world missions is the very heartbeat of God? May I tell you Jesus' mission? What was Jesus' mission? It tells us his mission statement in Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Remember, that was mentioned right after he saw Zacchaeus up a sycamore tree, and he called him by name and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." And by the way, God's calling your name today. God knows your name. He knows your DNA. He knows everything about you. And the God who knows you is the God who loves you, is the one who calls them to himself. Inside your bulletin, there's a prayer guide. I want to encourage you to use that this week. Pray through these people that will be a part of what God is doing. And pray. It gives us specific things to pray for as we go into all the world and we share the good news of the gospel. May I remind you what's happening in Acts 16. The Apostle Paul has already finished his first missionary journey, is going on his second missionary journey. In Acts 15, remember they had the great council where they were determining, hey, the gospel isn't just available to the Jews, it's available to everyone, even the Gentiles. And thank God it's available to the Gentiles, amen, because that's you and me. And I want you to know that the gospel is available to everyone. Jesus died that everyone, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And you can put your name in that place. God loves you that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But how are we going to be a Great Commission church? How are we going to be the church that God wants us to be? Yes, we got to begin in our Jerusalem. A lot of people think, well, you got to go overseas to be a Great Commission church. No, you got to begin in your Jerusalem, and then you go to your Judea and Samaria. And if you follow the book of Acts, that's exactly what happens. They begin in Jerusalem there at Pentecost. Whenever Peter got up and preached, there were 3,000 souls saved, praise God. And not only that, they went from there to Judea. And then, remember, Philip went down to Samaria. God called him to Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Thank God that he carried the gospel, the good news, to those around him. But I may tell you today that God has given us the Macedonian call. Remember in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is going and he's trying to go on that second missionary journey, and the Bible tells him the Spirit bade him not go into Asia. God did not want him to go into Asia. There was a purpose for that, because God had a purpose. Look at verse 6, if you would. "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and into the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they had come to Mysia, it said they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to go. And they, passing through the way, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night." Catch this. "There was a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, 'Come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision immediately, he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. In other words, he received the Macedonian call, folks. And you know what? Catch this just a minute. Oh, yes, the gospel's going to eventually go to Asia. But may I tell you that if the Spirit had not bade him go, the Spirit was calling him to Macedonia. And guess what? As a result of that, the gospel is going to go to Europe. The gospel is going to go throughout the world as a result of that. And he heard the Macedonian call. May I tell you this morning, there's several things about that Macedonian call I want us to hear. First of all, the Macedonian call to missions is personal. He gives us the who. Who is it? He said that a vision appeared to Paul. He said a vision appeared to him. In other words, let me tell you what, the call of God is personal. When God calls us, he calls us to share the gospel, not only here in our Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. May I tell you something, good news about Vitamin Christmas offering? Every penny you give will go to missions. None of it is caught up in, like some of these groups, they'll spend money into all the different types of people. They'll pay for all the leadership and everything. Every penny we give will go to the mission field. None of it is kept. And through our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, over one half of that which supports our missionaries, 3,600 plus missionaries, is supported through the cooperative program and through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I don't know about you, I like making investments like that. Because see, when you and I are making investment, we're making investment into eternal life. But we need to understand, it was the Macedonian call was personal. Paul heard that call from the Lord. And a vision appeared to Paul. Let me tell you what, listen to me, Dave. The God who called Paul is the God who calls you and me. By the way, we might not be called, have a Macedonian call to go into Europe, but we might have a Macedonian call to go right where we live. We might have a Macedonian call to go at our place of that we work at, or our place, students, that you go to school. There's people there who need the Lord. And if we could just get a vision of that, see, we need to understand if we're going to be a Great Commission church, we got to have an obedient heart to go. We got to be obedient to go. And God called Paul, and he was obedient to that call. It is a personal call, and the God who called him is the God who called you. By the way, throughout the scriptures, have you noticed how many times God calls people to do specific things? God called Gideon to lead a group of people, to lead God's people against 135,000 Midianites. But he had too many people, and God said, that's too many. I want you to cut it down. I want you to tell everybody who doesn't want to go, they can go home. And 22,000 went home. God said, that's still too many, because you're going to say, I won the victory, instead of God brought me to victory. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the water. I want you to get everyone who cups the water in their hand and brings it up as they're looking around them. Those ones I take, and there's only 300 left. 300 against 135,000 Midianites. But may I tell you something, folks? The God who called Gideon is the God who empowered Gideon. And what did they go in with? All they went in was a trumpet, was a light, and was a pitcher that they broke the pitcher, the symbol of the broken life. And they blew the trumpet, saying the trumpet of victory, and they shine the light. 300 lights shown, and God brought the victory. Listen to me. God wants to bring the victory here in Joshua, Texas, but he also wants to bring the victory in Madagascar and throughout the world. But we are responsible to be obedient to the call of God, just like the Apostle Paul was. But not only is the Macedonian call to mission personal, now I tell you secondly, excuse me. The Macedonian call of God is pressing. When are we to go? We're to go when God calls us. Notice what he says here. He received a vision and he saw a man of Macedonia and he says, I pray you. You know that word pray is an interesting word there. It's the Greek word parakaleo. Interesting word. Parakaleo. It's the same word for the Holy Spirit. He's the one who called along beside us. But here's you, I pray you, I beseech you. In other words, this man of Macedonia, this vision, he was desperate. He says, I encourage you strongly. I beseech you strongly that you would come over and help us. May I tell you today, folks, it is a pressing call. And we need to understand that people that are lost need the Lord. That's what a Great Commission church does. It understands, catch this, that lost people without Christ will spend eternity in hell. Now, I know there's not too much preaching on hell anymore, but I want you to know I think there needs to be a whole lot more preaching on hell because it's a reality. You say, well, God, who's the God of love, would not send anyone to hell. Let me tell you what, it's they reject the only. The only sin that God will not forgive, the unpardonable sin, is rejecting Jesus. Is rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit, who is Christocentric. If you're saying no to Jesus, it's the choice you make. It's a choice that is a deadly choice. It's a choice that will lead you without Christ. May I tell you today that there's those that are calling us to Christ. We need to understand that lost people need the Lord, I wonder if we really care whether a lost person goes to hell or not. And I tell you, the lost people in hell care. You remember over there where the one that was in hell said, hey, would you just send Abraham to touch his finger in the water, for I'm tormented in this flame? And he said, there's a great gulf fixed. You remember what he said then? He said, well, would you send someone to tell my five brothers? I tell you, the people in hell would say, listen, would you send somebody to tell my family about the Lord? I don't want them to face this torment. I don't want them to face, apart from God, this hell that's a reality, folks. And we need to understand the Macedonian call is a pressing call because he said, I beseech you. And listen to me this morning, folks. I beseech Lane Prairie Baptist Church that we would be a Great Commission church. My prayer is that we wouldn't just send one couple to Madagascar. My prayer is that we would send many more from our church. When Dr. Queen and I went up to Virginia, when we saw the washers being set apart by the International Mission Board, we were talking on the way, and you know, he said to me, he said, Brother Jerry, I would love to see us have 10 families. Wouldn't it be great if we sent 10 families from our church? He said, oh, Brother Jerry, that's a really high goal. But let me tell you something. All things are possible with God. And God is still on the throne. And he's still calling people. And there's a lot of seminary students that are already planning on going to missions. And they're planning on going. And if they come be a part of our fellowship. We will be glad to send them forth from our church, and we will pray for them. We'll encourage them. We'll lift them up just like we're going to do the washers. We're going to pray for them. We're going to support them, and we're going to help them with any project they need. And that's what God's called us to do. The Macedonian call is pressing because we hear the call of God calling us to do missions, folks. And I tell you, this summer you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to go to Brownsville. You have an opportunity to go to Kenya. You have an opportunity to go to Madagascar. By the way, you have an opportunity to be a part of our Vacation Bible School. Because Vacation Bible School, what do? The purpose of Vacation Bible School is sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're a part of that. We have an opportunity, folks. God's given us that opportunity. It's a pressing call, and we must understand that. But thirdly, may I remind you today that the Macedonian call to missions is precise. Notice he said, I am asking you to come to Macedonia. Remember, Macedonia was Europe. He was headed west, and the Macedonian call called him. And by the way, that Macedonian call is going to lead him to Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and eventually to Athens and Rome and other places that the gospel is going to be preached. It was the beginning of that call, and God called the Apostle Paul. It was precise. He said, I want you to come over to Macedonia. May I tell you, when we follow God's call, we understand the gospel is for everyone. It isn't for the rich. It isn't just for the poor. It isn't for the middle class or the upper class or the low class. It's for everyone. The Bible calls us to do that. God so loved the world. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Mark 13:10, it says, and the gospel must be first published among all nations. Go into all the world, Mark 16:15. You're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth, Acts 1:8. May I tell you, it was precise. He was to go to Macedonia because why was he to go there? Because God had someone waiting for him. Who was waiting? Who was waiting was a lady named Lydia, a seller of purple, and she's the first one to save, by the way. Isn't that great? She gets saved. Not only that, they lead another lady who was a fortune teller, and she gets saved. And by the way, the ones who were making money off her got mad, and they whipped Paul and Silas. They threw them in prison. And what did Paul and Silas do? They didn't complain to God. They didn't say, boy, I got a bad rap here. Here I am sharing the gospel. I end up in prison. What did they do? You know it well. Look at chapter 16, verse 25. Look at it with me. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, the Philippian jailer, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself. Listen to me, church. He would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he asked one of the most pertinent questions ever asked. Look at verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? See, God gave him the Macedonian call. It was precise because, see, God knew that the seller of purple, Lydia, was there. God knew the Philippian jailer and his family are going to get saved. And by the way, the family today, Brother William was baptized. The Philippian jailer and all of his family were baptized. They heard the call of God. You say, well, that's kind of for that time. What's that about, Brother Jerry? Well, let me tell you something. This isn't the first call of God. You remember I told you about Philip the deacon in Acts chapter 8? You remember he had an obedient heart to go, and he was over in Samaria, and he was in the middle of revival, folks. I mean, revival was taking place. People were being saved every night. People were being baptized. There was revival taking place, but the Spirit of the God came upon him and said, listen, I want you to go out to Gaza, the desert. You say, why would he send him out there when they're in the middle of revival, Brother Jerry? Because God had somebody there. And that person there, we know him as the Ethiopian eunuch. Because see, the gospel's going to go to Africa. Praise God. Because there, the Ethiopian eunuch, he had been to Jerusalem for the worship. He came away empty. Because see, it isn't found in religion, folks. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that man was empty, but thank God he had the scroll of Isaiah on his lap. He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He was right in the middle of the second part of Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah is a miniature Bible because the first 39 chapters speak of the judgment of God. The last 27 chapters speak of God calling his people and the mercy of God. And right in the middle of those 27 chapters, right in the middle is Isaiah 53, where it talks about how Jesus died for us, how he was a lamb that was slaughtered for us, folks, where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And the Spirit says, go join yourself to that chariot. I love this part in Acts chapter 8. It says he ran over there. He didn't walk, he ran. Folks, we ought to be running to tell people about Jesus. We ought to be running to tell people about Jesus. He ran over there, he joined himself to his chariot, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone tell me? And the Bible says in Acts 8:35, he began the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. By the way, that's the message. That's the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus, how that he was born of the Virgin Mary, how he lived a virtuous life, how he died a vicarious death for us, how he had a victorious resurrection, and how one day, praise God, he's coming again. Now, if that doesn't excite you, something's wrong with your heart today. Because he preached unto him, and guess what happened? The Ethiopian eunuch got saved. One person out in the middle of the desert. You say, is one person important, Brother Jerry? I'm going to tell you one person's important. It was one woman at the well who needed the Lord, and Jesus went miles out of his way to share with her. It was one man, Nicodemus, who was religious, but he was lost. It was one man in John that was lame for 38 years and needed a touch by the Savior. It was one person on the cross next to Jesus who had a repentant heart, and Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. You find throughout the scripture, it's one by one by one. That's how we reach people. The Macedonian call is precise. But may I tell you, the Macedonian call is also practical. Notice what he says here. I love this part. Verse 9. Look at the last part of verse 9. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Help us. Folks, it's time for us to start helping. If you know the Lord, you can't keep it to yourself. People need the Lord. People need the Lord, folks. And oh, if we could understand that, whether it be the person at prison that we preach at, or the person overseas in Madagascar or in Asia or wherever it is, or at school or at work, people need the Lord. I remember one time I was over in Africa, and we were going, my mom and I were going, we were just going door to door and sharing the gospel. We had these two people, ladies, come running up to us, and they said this through our translator. They said, we have been praying for years that somebody would come tell us about Jesus. For years we've been praying. Boy, that gave me goosebumps to just share just seeing. Because they had been praying that somebody would tell them about Jesus. May I tell you, folks, there's people waiting right now for you and you and you and you. And we got to receive the Macedonian call. We got to go, because we need to understand that if we're going to be a Great Commission church, we got to be obedient to go. We got to understand that lost people will spend eternity in hell, that the gospel is available to everyone. And we need to understand that we're to be the light that can dispel darkness. I know it's past 12 o'clock. I can hear some of your stomachs growling right now. But I'm going to tell you what. If we're late today, when you go to eat today, say, hey, we were late in church today. You know why? Because we baptized 8 people today. And by the way, anybody that hear that that knows the Lord ought to rejoice. Amen. And you ought to rejoice that we're running late. But may I tell you that God's looking for a light? Oh, our missionaries are counting on us. Do you know what? I've stayed with our missionaries. You know what they do? This time of the year, they're praying for us. They're praying for us who are in America. They're praying for churches that won't give a pittance, but they'll give their very best. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to give equal to Lottie Moon what you spend on the most you spend on one person for Christmas. Now, if you're buying a car, you're in trouble. But think about that. If all of us did that, would we meet $12,000? We'd reach in and go above it if we all did that. Oh, we all like to be generous at Christmas. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm asking you to be generous at Christmas for souls. That you would hear the Macedonian call. And yes, we can pray. And yes, we can go. But right now, the missionaries are counting us to give. The month of December, we're giving for the glory of God. See, God's looking for a light to shine. Remember I told you about those 300 lights? You remember the 3 lights that shone? Their name was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, our God is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him anyway. That's faith, by the way. 3 lights. Think about the 2 lights. Paul and Silas, here in our passage. 2 lights. They didn't complain at midnight. They began to pray. They began to praise. And guess what? That Philippian jailer saw there was something in them that he didn't have. And they met the Lord. And then, may I tell you, God's looking for one light. Remember that one light, Elijah, that stood before 450 prophets of Baal, and he called down fire from heaven that consumed the sacrifice, the 12 barrels of water, licked up the dust, and everybody fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, He is the God. You know, we sing a song, hadn't sang in a while, but it's called Send the Light. There's a call come ringing over the restless ways, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light. We have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light. There's a golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. And then the last verse says this. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for the crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Folks, if you've been saved, you're the light. And the Bible says, in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is your light shining? The greatest light you'll have this Christmas is the light of Jesus shining through you. Let it shine. Let it shine. For some today, you've never met the Lord. And God's calling you to salvation. By the way, that's the greatest call of all. If you feel that tug in your life right now, that's the Holy Spirit. And He's showing you you need a Savior. He's drawing you to the Lord. He is. The Holy Spirit is Christocentric. He is always pointing people to Jesus. If you're here today without Christ, you're without hope, without peace, without love, and today you can meet the Lord in this place. I invite you to come, take a pastor by the hand. All you need to do is say, I need Jesus. And we'll sit down here on these chairs and explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We invite you to come today. There's others here today that need to come join this church and be a part of this fellowship. I don't know about you, I'd love to be a part of a church that's baptizing folks. That's going out to the ends of the earth to share the gospel. Not only in Jerusalem, but Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. If you want to be a part of a church like that, we invite you to come today. Maybe you're here today and God's calling you. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. God calls us. We got to answer that call today. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for your word.